We continue reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 21, found on page 857 of the Church Bible, or you can follow along on the screen with us. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And when they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And when the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
What I want to do is show you a wee video clip. It lasts just a couple of minutes, but what you'll see is that the footage is sped up at times and then a normal speed at other times. And the video is of a man playing a violin in a subway station in Washington, D.C. The music that is played over the top is him playing the violin. The music is not sped up, but it is just a part of what this man played while the video was going on. The video has been titled "Stop and Hear the Music." Now, I'm expecting that you will find it a little obscure for these next couple of minutes, and that's absolutely fine. And hopefully I'll be able to explain it and see how we get on. Figure you were maybe all waiting for something to happen, right? So, without context, it is a little bit unusual, admittedly. But this was a social experiment. This man was playing at a metro station in Washington, D.C. one morning. He played 6 pieces by the composer Bach for about 45 minutes. Now, during that time, since it was rush hour, it was calculated that about 1,100 people went through the station, most of them on their way to work. 3 minutes went by, and a middle-aged man noticed there was a musician playing. He slowed his pace, stopped for a few seconds, and then carried on. A minute later, the violinist received his first dollar tip. A woman threw the money in without stopping and continued to walk. A few minutes later, someone leaned against a wall to listen, but then, looking at their watch, started to walk again. The one who paid the most attention was a 3-year-old boy. His mother tugged him along, hurried him, but the child stopped to look at the violinist. Finally, the mother pushed hard and the child continued to walk, turning his head all the time. This was repeated by several other children. All parents, without exception, forced them to move on. In the 45 minutes that the musician played, only 6 people stopped and stayed for a while. There were 27 who gave him money, but continued to walk at their normal pace. And by the end, this man had collected $32.17. When he finished, silence took over. No one noticed, no one applauded. There is one woman who, at the very end, comes up and speaks to him. You see, she knew what everyone else seemed not to know. And that was that the violinist was a man called Joshua Bell, one of the most talented musicians in the world, a Grammy Award winner. He had just played one of the most intricate pieces of music ever written, and on a violin worth $3.5 million. 2 days before playing in the subway, Joshua Bell sold out a theatre in Boston where the seats averaged $100 a head, playing the exact same repertoire. Really interesting, I think. As part of a social experiment, it was considering perception, taste, and priorities of people. Now, here is the outline of this social experiment you see on the screen. The outline of the experiment was this. In a commonplace environment, at an inappropriate hour. Think about that. It's a metro. Everyone's just going to work. It's early in the morning, an inappropriate hour. Do people perceive beauty? Do we stop to appreciate it? Do we recognize the talent in an unexpected context? I think it's really fascinating to know the story and the questions that were asked as a result. But of course, a bit more impacting when I give you them after the event. And so this morning, in the few minutes that we have, I want to think about Christmas in a similar way. An event that took place in a commonplace environment at an inappropriate hour. And I want us to think about this. What difference does it make? Do we perceive the true beauty in it? What are our priorities this Christmas? And do we really appreciate it? I really like that phrase, in a commonplace environment at an inappropriate hour. So many people missed it. In that 45 minutes, over 1,000 people have come and walked and gone by, seemingly unaware entirely of the prestige of the man, seemingly unaware of what he was playing and the intricacy of it, unaware of the beauty of what was being played, that he should collect $32.17 while playing his $3.5 million violin. People missed it. They didn't perceive, didn't grasp or understand what was going on. And I think Jesus' birth was largely the same. Think about it, in a commonplace environment at an inappropriate hour. When Jesus was born, what happened was largely fairly commonplace. A baby was born. In the time that we've been here in this service, how many babies have been born worldwide? Many, many, many. It's commonplace even now today. Most babies are born, I would say, at inappropriate times. With our daughter Ailish, Nikki's water broke about 9, which meant we travelled to the hospital and were there by 10 p.m. And Ailish was born at 4:02 in the morning. We were heading to bed thinking it was just another day, everything was okay, and then all of a sudden we were in the car rushing towards the hospital. A little bit inappropriate timing, really. For Jesus, the timing was inappropriate because Bethlehem was full. It was the census. And so Jesus was born outside in an area reserved for animals. It was inappropriate, the timing and the context of what took place. And the truth is, actually, the birth of Jesus went largely unnoticed by so many people. It made a largely insignificant mark on many people at that time. Perhaps the majority of people were largely unaffected by Jesus' birth. Lots of people probably had things to do in relation to the census, so no real time to pay attention to a baby being born. Maybe it wasn't until Jesus was an adult and people look back, as we do now, that they or we might see the significance of the baby in the manger. Maybe it's only now that people look back and perceive the beauty of what took place at that time. Only now they look back and see the significance of what took place when Jesus was born. And I think the same is true of the violinist as was of Jesus being born. Some didn't know it happened. and some maybe didn't even see the beauty in it. We're told in the experiment that a few people stopped. Maybe they had time, maybe they just appreciated what was being played and how well, and it no doubt had an effect on the few. And I think with Jesus, for the wise men, the shepherds, the king, King Herod eventually, the innkeeper, and for sure for Mary and Joseph, there was an impact. There was an effect on them that night, that day, for sure. In the video, there was only one person who knew who the man in the cap playing the violin was. I wonder when Jesus was born if people realized. See, again, I think people might have known a baby was being born, but they arguably didn't know who he was. They didn't know that this baby born was the king of the world. They didn't know that he was the Messiah, the Savior. But when you see what took place there, the wonder and the beauty of God himself leaving heaven and coming to earth, born as a baby for you and for me, then we can marvel at that and wonder why. Why would God do that? And when we understand, we might perceive how beautiful a thing it is that has been done for us. And my question to you really then, I guess, is to ask, do you see the beauty in Jesus? Do you see the beauty in the incarnation that God himself came to earth? Because as commonplace as it was that a baby should be born, this was no ordinary event. This was not just another baby. The King of all the world came to earth. The Savior of the world who was born in order that he might die to take your place. That is what we remember took place at Christmas. That's what we reflect on. That's why we celebrate and rejoice. That is why it is beautiful. That's why it is significant. And if you see it as significant, if it's had an impact in your life, then how is it directing your life? What are your priorities? See, I wonder if in the video, if people had known who this man was, if they knew of his ability, of the violin, of the music, maybe they would have stopped. Regardless of their schedules and their busyness, their priorities, they might have said, wow, this is Joshua Bell. Look what he's doing. Listen to what he's playing. This is incredible. Let's stop and take this in. Regardless of what was going on, maybe they would have done that. But also, I wonder if some people would have seen that video. And they might have even realized they were there. Maybe they can even pause the video when it's going fast and say, look, there's me, I'm running back on the way to work. And they might think, oh yeah, all right. And it would actually make no impact on them then, and maybe make even no impact on them still today. Not too bothered, actually, about that guy with that violin playing that music, whatever it was. Like, who cares? Even if I had known who he was, even if I did know enough about music to know how good he was and the value of his violin, you know what? I wouldn't have been too bothered. And I think lots of people would say the same today of the first Christmas and of Jesus. It has no effect on them at all. Like, even if they are told, and even for some of you, perhaps knowing who Jesus is and was as the very Son of God, knowing that he came to bring peace to human beings, to make peace between human beings and God, even knowing that he comes to offer forgiveness of sin and eternal life in heaven, knowing all of these things, who cares, right? Makes no difference to you. What's so great about that? Doesn't affect me that Jesus came. It's got nothing to do with me. I'm not interested in that. See, I wonder if it's a bit like this. That if you were into classical music and all that kind of stuff, great. You know, if you really appreciate that man, his music, his violin, all that kind of stuff, then you know what? go for it. Knock yourself out, have a great time, go and find it at home, listen to it all over again. If that's your thing, brilliant. And if not, well, who cares? It makes no difference. It has no impact on me. And I think at Christmas time, people do largely the same thing. Look, I'm not really into all that stuff. You know, like being a Christian and Jesus and the Savior of the world and all that. It's not really my thing. I'm not really into that. Like, if you are, then that is totally fine. And if you want to celebrate and if you think it's important, that's fine. Knock yourself out. Go for it. I'm okay. It doesn't affect me. I'll be all right. The problem is this. The Bible tells us that even if you are not interested or think that it doesn't affect you, actually it does. Because in fact, all of this was planned for you. All of this was planned for human beings. There's no one, in fact, that it doesn't affect. So it's not just for those who are interested. But Jesus actually came, as Ruth just read there, for all people. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 tells us this. See it on the screen. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That is all people. That means that includes you. Jesus coming is good news even for you. You see what happened at Christmas? Everything that took place, the way that it all took place, God intended it for your sake. We read another verse, final verse I want to share with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, that is for all people, he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Everything that happened at Christmas, Jesus did for you, so that you might recognize the beauty and the wonder of the most precious gift ever given. And it was given for you. Jesus came and gave himself for you. It does affect you. Because it was for your sake that he came. Because the truth is this, that until we find Jesus, until we come to him, we are lost. We can try and find peace and purpose in this life, and we will not be able to. Because Jesus is the only one who can give you peace, the only one who can give you purpose in life. Because he's the creator of life. And he created you for a purpose. And so if you are a Christian, let me challenge you to think today truly what effect Jesus has on your life. I pray that Christmas, I pray that the incarnation will not become commonplace to us. That it might never become inappropriate, somehow getting in the way of the other things we have to do at Christmas. But I pray that we would stop and hear again the Christmas message that was for you, and that you would consider the incarnation of God, how it shapes your life now and in the days ahead, and beyond that into the new year and in every day of your life that lies before you. So significant is Jesus coming, is that that is the effect it should have now, tomorrow, and every day of our life. Does it have that effect? Does it hold that priority in your life, Jesus coming? If it is so life-changing, surely we should stop to worship and adore our Savior. If you're not a Christian, I really pray that you would stop and hear. Not something I can do or make you do or convince you of, but that God only can do, and I pray that he would help you realize your part in the Christmas story, because it was for you that Jesus came. Because you need a Savior. You need to be made right with God. And he's come down from the mountain, if you like, and he's come to where you are to meet you. Let us not miss what Christmas is about. Let's not throw Jesus out and concentrate on all the other things. So let us rejoice. Let's worship and adore Christ the Lord. And if truly it is good news of great joy for all people, then for those of us who are Christians, we surely also have a responsibility to tell all people of this good news that so impacts our lives and has changed our whole life, praying that it might also do that for them. So let me pray as we close.